Please rise. The Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Sleater, Judge Eid, Judge Bond, the Honorable Randall J. Sleater presiding.
Good morning. You may be seated. Good morning, and welcome to the Court of Appeals for April 17. We're in courtroom 100. We have four matters on our oral calendar this morning. The first matter is A24-1641, Basswood Residence, Inc., Relator versus the Department of Human Services as respondent. Now, we are live streaming the proceeding as well as recording, and so for that reason, we do ask counsel when you approach the podium to make sure you identify yourself, who you represent. We do ask that you keep an eye as well on the clock on the podium. You can adjust the podium to your comfort in the front panel should you need that. With that, I guess, counsel for appellant, you may approach, and when you're ready, begin.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is Jason Steck, S-T-E-C-K, and I represent the Relator of Basswood Residence, Incorporated. Details matter. And when the Department of Human Services has discretion to make a decision to revoke a license, to sanction a license, or to close a license, the reasons that that license is subject to that action matter. The first thing that needs to be addressed is, and it appears that the parties agree on this, is the fact that the standard of review here in the language of the statute indicates that when the commissioner chose to close Basswood Residence's HCBS license, the commissioner had discretion to do that. The statute says that the commissioner may close a license that's inactive for 12 months. It doesn't say must. It doesn't even say should. It says the commissioner may, which means the commissioner needs to exercise discretion in doing that, and this court would review that for an abuse of discretion. Now, in this case, what happened is the commissioner did not exercise discretion. The commissioner simply said, it's been inactive for 12 months, therefore I'm going to close it. There's no indication anywhere in the record that the commissioner considered the reasons that Basswood's license had been inactive for 12 months. Basswood tried to explain to the commissioner on reconsideration why.
Counsel, could I ask, is that a requirement by the statute?
It's a requirement by case law. It says that in order to avoid a decision being arbitrary and capricious, the Blue Cross decision says that the commissioner must not fail to consider an important aspect of the problem. The reasons for the license inactivity is an important aspect of the problem. When the action is discretionary, there still has to be some consideration.
Can I ask you to clarify that? So your colleague on the other side, and maybe this is academic, because you seem to be arguing that we should determine that the decision was arbitrary and capricious anyway, but they're saying that we're reviewing this as a quasi-judicial agency decision that's not subject to review under the MAPA, the Administrative Procedure Act. Does that matter? I mean, you're ultimately arguing that the decision was arbitrary and capricious anyway, which seems to be less focused on an abuse of discretion theory. Does it really matter for our analysis here?
I think a decision that is arbitrary and capricious is an abuse of discretion. And so essentially it's the same standard either way. Because what the commissioner needs to do is engage in reasoned decision making. In other words, it has to have some reasoning and consideration of all aspects of the problem rather than just being an automatic reaction. And I think the best way to maybe illustrate this is something, honestly, I thought about in the car on the way here. This court frequently reviews probation violation hearings. And in those probation violation hearings, the court is given wide discretion in choosing what probation to sanctions are. But the court has frequently held that when the court imposes a sanction like execution of a sentence automatically because they've pre-decided the issue, that no reasoning took place. The court never exercised its discretion in the first place in those instances. That's what happened here. By treating licenses that have been inactive for 12 months as automatically to be closed, and that's all the thinking that needs to be done, the commissioner never exercised her discretion at all.
But how is that supported by the denial of the reconsideration request? Because in that document, the commissioner did seem to specifically address the reasons for reconsideration, including that there was this private client being served.
The court was not addressing the reasons that the no HCBS services had been offered, and those reasons are that the department had failed to act for an extended period of time, approximately 6 months, on Basswood's request for ICS.
But so, isn't that only one type of HCBS service?
Yes, but that's the type that Basswood was seeking to provide. And the problem here is this, is that when somebody gets an HCBS license, they can provide any services under that. And Basswood wanted to provide ICS services, and they properly prepared for and presented an application for that. And then DHS did nothing. The idea that Basswood could have had a different business model and been going in a different way is irrelevant. The question is, was the failure to provide services caused in substantial part by DHS itself? And if the delays at DHS in processing these applications are so lengthy that it winds up running people past this one-year deadline, then DHS is the cause of the problem here, not the provider. The idea that, to answer Your Honor's question directly, it doesn't matter. And the reason the court is still not addressing this particular aspect of the problem, which is important, and that is that DHS is playing a role in the inability to provide those services within the 12-month period.
Counsel, can you clarify for me, please? Maybe I misunderstood. I understood the ICS to be one kind of subcategory of the broader license allows for these
correct
services. So does every subcategory need a separate approval then to do so? So that's the point about the ICS, is that service could not be provided until that kind of subcategory was separately approved. So that's over and above the main licensure that had already been approved.
Right. So there's a license to provide HCBS services. And then in order to provide at least some subsets, and I don't know if it's true of all subsets, but at least it's true to apply some subsets like ICS services, it's not a separate license, but you have to apply and get approved. They have to do studies of, is this facility appropriate to this type of services, et cetera.
So does the record indicate how long that approval had been applied for versus the one-year determination? Determination of 1 year.
Of course, the court can review the record for itself. It's in the addendum. It's a very small record. But my recollection is it was approximately 6 months, because what the provider has to do is they have to acquire these facilities, which really winds up being apartments. The statutes are kind of written to encourage several units within the same apartment building to be used for these services simultaneously. It kind of creates a atmosphere where the clients are mutually reinforcing and or present with each other in the same building. And so they have to rent these units and prepare those units. So there's a substantial investment, and then apply for this separate approval. And when they get back from that approval, then they can start providing and billing for the services. So there's a real upfront cost here.
Can I just clarify this? So in the record, there's a client referral for comprehensive services document that's under, looks like, Basswood's letterhead, and this is at page 38 of the documents in the record, and it says, Basswood residence offers a comprehensive array of services designed to enhance the quality of life for our clients. We specialize in individual home support, IHS, independent living skills, ILS, adult companion, in-home community living support, ICLS, ICS, which sounds like that's the one category that the license was sought for. Then night supervision, respite care, employment support and exploration, chores, and homemaker services. So that sounds like the comprehensive array that Basswood was purporting to offer was not just limited to ICS. Am I wrong in the way I'm reading the record there?
With respect, Your Honor, you're misinterpreting it a little. A lot of those other services are the sign of basic homemaker support that aren't subject to reimbursement, right? They're not reimbursable services. The main component of where the income in this business would come from is the ICS services.
So that's when you say what they're makes not reimbursable, you're saying those other types outside of ICS in that list aren't HCBS that would be reimbursable?
I believe that's correct. I can't.
HCBS included in-home and out-of-home respite care services, adult companion services. Adult companion, does that involve the necessity for an ICS license?
I don't believe it does require an HCBS. The license is an HCBS license. ICBS is a category of services underneath that.
So let's just focus on that then. Why couldn't Basswood have provided in the relevant period for purpose of the statute adult companion services? What about the failure of DHS to grant the ICS license prevented Basswood from providing adult companion services?
When clients are referred for HCBS services, they're usually utilizing multiple aspects of that suite. There's no, I've never heard of such a thing of where there's a client that's just getting adult companion services. Now, and respite care services, which I think is mentioned twice in there, is an occasional thing where somebody's provider someplace else, and then their client who's very high needs, in order to grant the provider a break, comes for one day. Right, that's not really a business model that's sustainable for to sustain the kind of expenses that are being provided here. So I think the point that's being made and is kind of implicit in the commissioner's order is that the heart of this attempt at a business enterprise is the ICS services. It may be possible to find a little piecework here and there, but the true heart of the specialization and where this becomes a viable business enterprise is the ICS services, because it needs to be enough, and those are the only ones that pay enough to pay the costs of this substantial front-end costs of acquiring and creating these units.
Do we know from the record the 6 months that it took for the ICS license to be approved, when that happened in the 12-month consecutive time period?
It occurred in the latter part of it. It was what this appellant did is she went and got the HCBS license, then she went out and rented the units and started making them suitable for the ICS services. And once they were suitable, because she thought that you needed to have it ready to go, because as soon as this comes in, they're going to come and do the inspection, right? So once she had them, then she applied for the ICS services approval. And she waited and waited and waited. And this is a frequent problem, and it actually goes to one of the arguments from the department where they say, look, there's no harm here, really. All she has to do is when she gets some clients that she can serve, she can just reapply. The problem there is that that's an illusory option, because not only could this problem reoccur, where she can't get approved for ICS services, but even getting an HCBS license right now is an over 2-year delay to wait, because the department's saying they have staffing problems. So it's been getting longer and longer. If I was here 6 months ago, it would have been year and a half delay. Now it's over 2 years. So the notion that this is just sort of easily cured because you can always come back is false. And that kind of gets to the due process issue here, because the department says, look, she has no due process right in an inactive license. That's not true. in reliance on that license, on it, and having that license, she expended a lot of money to get these units, to make them readily available for services, and then to apply for ICS. There is licensing fees that have to get paid. Those are gone. There's all of the investment that she made in trying to get the units ready to go. That's gone. Those are all property interests that are taken away when the commissioner just says, nothing happened in a year, so you're done.
But can I just follow up? So I understand that you said earlier, like, the adult companion or the respite care, that's not a sustainable business model. But if your client had simply had one respite care visit in the 12-month period and sought reimbursement, wouldn't that have prevented the department from closing the license?
Maybe, but there's another aspect that the department's not telling you, is the department also approves all of the placements, all of the clients you can get. It's not that it matters where she can just go out and get her own client. That has to be, it's usually referred by the county, which is under state DHS supervision, but at least has to be approved by the county. And so it's not the case where the department, as the department is saying, that she was free to just go out and find her own clients. She was trying. But nobody was referring or approving anything for her.
Is there any evidence in the record that the county or DHS was refusing to refer her? I mean, or are we to infer that from the absence of her having clients in the 12-month period?
I think the court has to infer that it's possible, since DHS never points out anything to the contrary in its response to reconsideration.
Thank you, counsel, and you will have 5 minutes of rebuttal. Counsel for respondent, you may approach, identify yourself, and begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, my name is R.J. Dietrich. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the respondent here, the Department of Human Services. Your Honors, this case involves two straightforward issues. First, whether the department properly applied Section 245A.055 in closing relator's license. And second, whether that statute violates due process requirements. As to the first question, the record is clear, and I don't think relator contest today that it did not provide license services within the 12 months preceding the closure, and so the closure was proper. As to the second question, there simply is no protected due process interest involved here, and even if there were, the process provided here would be sufficient. Now, Section 245A.055 allows the commissioner to close a license if a license provider has not provided license services under that license within the prior 12 months. The relator argues that the department's decision to close its license was arbitrary, and the decision can be arbitrary for a couple reasons. If it's unsupported by the facts, for the reasons I just said, and I don't think relator contests, it hadn't provided license services within the last 12 months, so the decision is clearly supported by the facts. But relator argues that the department failed to consider an important aspect of the problem. But that argument should be rejected as well.
Can you point us to anything in the order denying reconsideration that shows the commissioner did consider that issue of the ICS services?
Your Honor, the commissioner's order on reconsideration said that the department considered all the evidence and in the reconsideration request that was submitted. I think that certainly indicates that it was considered. The department also said in response to the request that relator had said in its reconsideration request that it had attempted to find individuals to receive its home and community-based services, which it was able to provide beyond just beyond the separate ICS services. Relator was licensed and approved and able to provide many other services that are listed on the physical copy of its license, which is in the record. The department noted that relator had said in its reconsideration request that it just wasn't able to find individuals to receive those services. So the record indicates that there just wasn't a need for the services that Relator was seeking to provide. And so that's why it was not able to, not providing services, not because of any delay from the commissioner in approving ICS services.
What's your response to the argument that really clients are come from referrals from the county, and the last argument that counsel for the appellant made, essentially that we should infer from the record that the lack of clients were not really the fault of appellant, but rather due to the lack of referrals in connection with the failure to approve the ICS license?
Your Honor, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, there's nothing in the record that supports any claim that the department or the county was purposely, like, keeping clients from Relator's business. And I don't think that you can infer that from what is in the record. Relator clearly had made efforts to try and solicit clients, and no one was interested in its services.
Do you disagree with the argument that the typical process for obtaining clients for HCBS services is through county referral rather than private solicitation of clients? And this may be I'm asking you a question that's not indicated by the record, but since counsel raised that, I'm wondering if you wanted to respond.
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, it's not in the record. It wasn't in the briefing, so I didn't look into that before this. I believe certainly there's usually a county case manager that's involved in hooking the person up with particular service providers. I don't know exactly how that process works, though.
Was that argument made in requesting reconsideration, that the lack of clients was due to the lack of referrals in addition to the ICS?
No, Your Honor, I don't. Well,
the ICS aspect was made.
The ICS argument was made, but they also noted that they just hadn't been able to provide any clients, find any clients for their other services, and that they'd had attempted to advertise those services and obtain clients, but hadn't been able to find any. I don't think they specifically said anything about, like, you know, counties refusing to refer or DHS refusing to refer clients to them. There's nothing in the record about that.
Counsel, isn't it, and this maybe comes to why the relator's comment, counsel focuses on the word may, and then if we're looking at the matter of will over judgment in terms of arbitrary and capricious, and he makes the point that getting a new license could take up to 2 years now, and maybe you disagree with that, but I guess what I'm trying to understand is there seems like a pretty drastic decision to simply just vacate the license or whatever, I can't remember the phrase that's used, simply because there's lack, as opposed to having this kind of an inquiry that we're talking about before that happens. And we don't see that, you know, from the reconsideration order. As you say, it took all the evidence, but that doesn't really answer the question of, well, what did you do with the evidence? How did you process it? And come, you know, why did we not reject the ICS, though that's taking, he argues, 6 months to get done? Can that be speeded up? Are these buildings being, you know, so that, and confirm that the apartments are being remodeled, I guess, to fit this? I'm just trying to understand why that sort of wouldn't be part of the process in making a determination whether to cancel a license, rather than simply there's undisputed it was 12 months, the statute allows it, and that's what the commissioner did. That seems like will over judgment and not considering all these things, because there's no downside, I assume, to leaving the license out there if indeed the commissioner becomes satisfied, okay, I can see now once you get this ICS and you're getting these are now ready to be inspected and you should have some business coming in, rather than requiring another 2 years where they can't do it.
Yeah, Your Honor, I believe the record shows that the commissioner considered everything that was put forward. The commissioner didn't specifically address the ICS issue in the reconsideration request, but I don't think the commissioner was required to. I mean, what's important under the statute is whether services were provided within the prior 12 months. That's all that's specifically laid out in the statute.
I mean, under an arbitrary and capricious, that strikes me at least it's a plausible argument that if it's the DHS's own delay, whereas if the DH had approved it and then you still don't have anything happening, well, then that's a different scenario. You see what I'm asking?
Right. You might be right if it were truly the only issue here was that DHS hadn't approved ICS, and that's the only reason why they hadn't provided any licensed services. But that's just not the case. I mean, again, they had lots of other services that they were provided, could provide, and they just simply weren't able to find anyone who was interested in receiving those services. Also, I would note that the provider initially received their license way back in May of 2023. They didn't even seek approval to provide ICS services until March 30th of 2024, almost a year later. So relators claim that, you know, the ICS was the business model all along, just isn't supported by the record here. Instead, the record indicates, as I've said and as the commissioner said in the reconsideration response, that relator had attempted to find individuals who were interested in receiving waivered services from it and just couldn't find anyone because there was not a need for the services that relator was providing.
The total amount of time that Basswood had the license was greater. It was almost 2 years before it was approved and it received it in 2023. It was renewed in 2024.
It was, I believe, about a year and a half, May 2023 to September of 2024. And during that entire period of time, the record indicates that they only provided services to this one private pay client who was not actually receiving HCBS services. They were just receiving private pay cleaning services that you don't need a HCBS service or HCBS license to provide. So during that entire period of time, you know, a year and a half almost, there's no indication that they provided any licensed services.
Do you want to respond to the argument your colleague on the other side made about the business viability of providing services other than, I mean, it also might not be supported by the record, but the argument was made that that's why ICS was so critical, is that the other services, like the adult companion services, and we heard that the respite care is too sporadic to support a viable business model. Do you want to respond to that, or is there anything in the record that we can look at that supports or refutes that?
I don't think there's anything in the record that supports that, Your Honor. And I mean, I'm aware of plenty of providers that don't provide ICS services and that, you know, have been providing services for a long time. So I don't think that's at all supported by the record, and I don't think that that's in any way correct. If I could briefly touch on the due process argument, due process, constitutionally, in order for there to be a due process issue, there has to be a constitutionally protected interest. And a constitutionally protected property interest, for example, arises from generally state statute, an entitlement in state statute, or in a contract or something like that. Here, the statutory scheme affirmatively indicates that there is no entitlement to maintain a inactive license because it allows the commissioner to close an inactive license. And there's good reason for allowing the commissioner to do that, I should say. I mean, when a license is open, the commissioner has to expend resources to monitor that license. And so if a license is inactive, the commissioner should be able to close that license and has been for 12 months or more.
I know you disagree, you release in your brief, with the standard review that was stated by Mr. Steck, but I'm wondering, do you at least would agree that the commissioner had the discretion not to close the license, right?
I would, Your Honor. The statute does say may. I believe it doesn't say must or shall.
And I imagine there must be some instances in which DHS, for some reason, chooses not to close a license that has had no HCBS services within the 12 months. Again, this is outside the record, but
right.
I'm just, and the argument wasn't made, but I mean, it's interesting to me that the statute doesn't require it, and the, I mean, mean, I understand that the predicate was there for the commissioner to do so, but I guess it goes towards Judge Sleater's point, too, about the plausibility of it being arbitrary and capricious.
Your Honor, like you said, the statute does say may, and so certainly there could be a situation out there where the commissioner could decide not to close a license, even though it hadn't been providing services for more than 12 months. Perhaps if there were truly extraneous, you know, things preventing the provider, an odd situation that prevented the provider from being able to provide services, like a global pandemic or something, perhaps. But this isn't that. They had the ability to provide services, and they just couldn't find any clients to receive services from them.
Does the record, I'm assuming the answer is no, indicate what you made, what kind of a policy argument, if there's a good reason to end these inactive licenses? And I think you're referring to the resources, but what has to occur with an inactive license? What's the commissioner have to do?
Well, the commissioner has to conduct occasional licensing reviews to make sure that providers are complying with applicable rules and statutes. And that's indeed how this came up in the first place, is the commissioner was going to conduct a review. And in preparing to conduct a review, the commissioner discovered that Relator, in fact, wasn't providing any services. And so that's what led to the initial closure notice. When a license is open, the commissioner has to expend resources and time to monitor that license by law, because the commissioner is responsible for ensuring that for investigating providers and making sure that they're complying with the law. Your Honors, I see my time is almost up. If there are no further questions, I would just ask that you affirm the commissioner's order in full. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you, counsel. And counsel for appellant, you'll now have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. The discussion and the questions from the court today have focused a lot on the limits of the record, and that's kind of the point. Why is the record so limited? The appellant couldn't possibly, when asking for reconsideration, foresee every one of the questions that the court might ask about, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? The burden's on the commissioner to explain her action sufficiently for this court to be satisfied that the commissioner has engaged in reasoned decision making. That burden's on the commissioner, not on the appellant, to show the negative.
Why wouldn't that be satisfied here when all that the statute requires is a showing that of the non-provision of services for the 12 months preceding?
Because application of the statute of the closure of the license is discretionary. So the commissioner needs to provide reasoned decision-making. Why are you choosing that option versus not closing the license? And the only indication that...
Wouldn't that require reading into the statute, you may close it for non-provision of services within the preceding 12 months and good cause? I mean, doesn't that require something beyond what the statute says?
It only requires the basic requirements of any quasi-judicial decision where the action is discretionary. If the action is discretionary, then the commissioner has the obligation to show why she exercised her discretion or that she exercised her discretion at all.
Well, don't we know? I mean, your opposing counsel points out that the reconsideration order says the commissioner reviewed all of the information that you submitted in response to the notice of license closure. I mean, that seems to indicate to me there was an exercise of discretion.
Your Honor, with respect, that's not at all what it indicates. What that indicates is a pro forma line that can be inserted into everything that doesn't specifically address anything. All it does is insulate the order against the question by just saying in a general way, I looked at all the evidence and this is what I decided to do. It didn't address the evidence. It didn't even acknowledge the specific arguments specifically at all. It didn't say, I reviewed your evidence about your inability to get ICS services. And it definitely didn't say, I've reviewed your evidence about ICS, your inability to get ICS services, and this is why I don't think that's sufficient. That's what needs to happen in order to create a real record that this court can review. Because up until that, if that's not there, we're left in this world that we're in, because the commissioner has left us in a world where we all have to wonder why she didn't exercise her discretion to not close the license. We have to guess.
Typically, if we reverse on grounds of insufficient findings, there's a statute or a case that says that there are specific findings or particular findings need to be made in order to make a decision like this. Or is there any statute or case that you can point to that would say that the reconsideration order is deficient in that way?
No, there isn't, but there is case law that says the decision-making has to be reasoned, and once again, I would say that the probation violation is illustrative. There is a statute, or there's case law that says you have to consider the Austin factors. But that case law has held that merely saying, I considered all the Austin factors, is not sufficient. There has to be some level of explanation, even implicitly, that says, yeah, okay, you actually did consider the Austin factors. Merely reciting that I considered him isn't enough.
But that case law in the probation violation context comes from the Supreme Court. So I'm not sure if can this court, as an error-correcting court, create that new law in the first instance?
Yes, it can when this is an issue of first impression. There is no statute, there is no case law addressing this statute at all. And saying, what is the limit of that discretion? What are the requirements of that exercise of discretion? Because the word may is in the statute, there is a discretionary act taking place here. Discretionary acts are never unlimited in the scope of the discretion. It may be very broad, but it's never unlimited. And given that, the obligation is on the commissioner to show, here's that I exercised my discretion, and here's how I exercised my discretion. That failure, in and of itself, justifies reversal of the order because the commissioner hasn't provided any indication that she exercised her discretion. And so that's why we're asking this court to reverse.
Very well. Thank you both, counsel. We appreciate your answers to our questions and the briefing. We will now take the matter under advisement, and we'll be issuing a ruling within 90 days. You each have a good day.